So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, hour number 2 of our radio program. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios on the Zach Gelb Show. And whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. It's time to update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Cardinals lose to the Patriots last night, and the Arizona Cardinals lose Kyler Murray for the season. Cliff Kingsbury says losing Kyler Murray was absolutely brutal.
You see teams go through it every week, but you lose your starter on third play of the game. Deal non-contact. It's just tough to watch and see, and you got to be able to rebound and continue to play the game though.
Cliff Kingsbury then also spoke today and says that 2022 has been an awful year for Kyler Murray.
A difficult year, obviously, from the beginning with, you know, not doing much in training camp with the wrist and then COVID, and then having a tough stretch, you know, offensively not playing as well as we thought we could. And I really thought against the Chargers, our rhythm was a little bit better, and was excited about this last, you know, 5 games. And so to not be able to kind of build off that was disappointing, and just tough for all parties involved.
What do you think the apex is, Hickey, for Kyler Murray in this league?
I mean, I think with the right coach,
I can't ever see him being a top 5 quarterback. It's, like, when you mention the guys, Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, like, that's 5 right there in terms of young quarterbacks for the foreseeable future. With what I've seen through the first 4 years, I'm not saying he's been a bad quarterback. I just don't know, and I'm skeptical if he has the greatness in him to be the franchise quarterback, top 5 quarterback that you feel confident enough in that could go win an MVP in this league and go win a Super Bowl in this league.
Yeah, the frustrating part is I think he has the talent to win a Super Bowl. And I think he has the talent to elevate to be a top 5 kind of guy. I don't think he has the mindset for it. You look at the homer clause, that's very concerning. You look at him who's, at least from the outside, seems to kind of be more of a finger pointer than someone who accepts accountability and tries to get better from it. I don't think those two things mesh and are going to be able to kind of get him to where his talent says he should be.
And what I think is very damaging too, and it's one thing, right, when Hickey says it or I say it, but when you have an NFL player and someone that was once in that locker room, Patrick Peterson, say that guy only cares about himself. And I know Patrick Peterson, who plays for the Vikings now and is going to the Hall of Fame one day, now has a podcast. I don't think Patrick Peterson just needs to say things to get downloads on his podcast. He's going to be honest, but being a player in the league, that's always tricky when you have a podcast. And I think someone like Patrick Peterson was just speaking his truthful thoughts on Kyler Murray. And notice how upset Kyler Murray got when that got put out there, and then he kind of fired back and made it look out to be that Patrick Peterson was being the bad guy. It almost seems as if you give this guy criticism, he can't take the criticism. And that's a problem when you're a franchise quarterback, especially when you are not a finished, great, developed product. He has the talent. He's a tremendous, this is not meant to be the way that it's going to come off as, a video game player. Like, if you're playing Madden, you want him as your Madden quarterback. But I don't know if I want him being my franchise quarterback. I don't want to be my franchise quarterback. I think there's better options out there. And I think if everything goes right, his ceiling's kind of like 28 touchdowns, running the football well, 11 picks a year. I think he's good. At times could be very good. I don't know. I don't think he's great. Let's hear from Cliff Kingsbury, also from today, saying both he and Kyler will be extra motivated for the 2023 season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just part of the challenge. I think, both of us hurt enough this year to be highly motivated for the offseason, and I know he will be too. And those surgeries have been proven recently that guys are coming back and faster and stronger, and I know he's excited about that prospect.
Hickey, doesn't the follow-up there have to be, well, Coach, what makes you think that you're definitely going to be back for the 2023 season? That has to be followed up. I didn't hear the whole press conference. But.
Or why he needs motivation for a year coming off of what was a disappointment last year.
Well, I don't think disappointment fair because how it finished. They did make the playoffs. I know that they were looking like one of the better teams in the league and then just crumbled down the stretch. And it was just brutal in the playoff game. But this is totally different than last year. Like, last year they made the playoffs. Last year, at times, you had a belief. This year, they've given you zero reason to believe in them. Bill Belichick, from what he saw from his offense last night.
Played better. A tough break on the interception. Matt got his arm hit, but I thought we did some things better. Still got a long way to go. Had some young players step up and make some significant plays in the game. So it's good to get contributions from everybody. And short week here of Vegas, and we'll just kind of keep grinding and try to be ready to go on Sunday.
Well, they have a long way to go. It's week 14. You play the Raiders in week 15. And they threw the ball a lot last night, if you want to say that. You know, they had success in the ground, 21 carries, 103 yards, 2 touchdowns, and that was Damian Harris not in the game, and Ramondre Stevenson then gets knocked out of the game, and you get Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris playing well, both getting touchdowns. My biggest problem, Hickey, with the Patriots offense, and I'll say something different, because my biggest gripe all throughout the year has just been, I can't stand Matt Patricia. And I hate that they don't have a number one wide receiver. And you look at teams like the Eagles that had questions about their quarterback, the Dolphins who had questions about their quarterback. Even a few years ago, the Bills had a question about Josh Allen with what he did the first few years in the league. What did the Bills do? They went out and they got Diggs. What did the Dolphins do? They got Tyreek Hill. Oh, yeah, by the way, they also had Jalen Waddle. What did the Eagles do? They went out, they got A.J. Brown. Oh, yeah, by the way, they already had Devontae Smith. And you look at the Bills, you see what Gabe Davis has been able to do as number two wide receiver. Who's Mac Jones throwing the football to? Nelson Aguilar? Like, Kendrick Bourne? Tyquan Thorne? Like, nothing against those guys. They're not number one wide receivers. I don't know if you can say, oh, Jacoby Myers was hurt. I like Jacoby Myers. He's not a number one wide receiver. So last night, Hickey, this is what I don't get. Just if you could just look at it the last 3 weeks of this season. Mac Jones probably played his best game of the year against Minnesota. They allowed Mac Jones to throw the ball down the field. Then against the Bills, in a game that they were trailing, they put the training wheels back on. Dink and dunk, screen pass. And I'm okay with dinking and dunking and screen passing, but not for the entire game. And it wasn't really until late last night when he found, I think it was Hunter Henry, where they let him throw the ball down the field. I know this offensive line is banged up, and maybe they're trying to protect the quarterback by getting the ball out quickly, but these guys get paid. They should be able to hold the block for 3-4 seconds And Mac Jones should be able to move around the pocket and at least have him attempt to throw the ball down the field. But there's so many situations, Ryan, when you watch this team, they're not even allowing Mac to throw the ball down the field. And Mac was good last year. He wasn't great, but he was good. And now everyone's going to pile on Mac and say he sucks and he's awful and he's terrible. I can't say that after this year because he's not being put in a position to succeed. And they're not – Matt Patricia, of all people, isn't trusting Mac Jones. And I'm sorry. I don't trust Matt Patricia. I trust Mac Jones way more, especially on the offensive side of the ball, than Matt frickin' Patricia.
Let me ask you this. Is it time this offseason to bring in a GM?
No.
Because you're right about the lack of skill position. We talked about it even when this big spending spree happened two offseasons ago.
Like, could John Robinson come back?
You're bringing in marginal guys.
Could John Robinson come back? Yes. Belichick, whether it's a real GM title or not, we know who's going to be calling the shots. Could Belichick use some help? Yeah, sure.
I think it's time to get him some help.
No, I think it's time for Robert Kraft to say to him, you got to hire an offensive coordinator. That's where it starts. And I would think with the money that they had, like, they tried two off seasons ago.
They went out there. Marginal guys.
No, well, the Hunter Henry move and Jonnu Smith, a lot of people praised that at the time. Now, Jonnu Smith, he can't catch a cold. And Hunter Henry's fine. But they got to go out there.
Nelson Aguilar.
And they
got to
go pull off a trade. They got to go pull off a trade this offseason. And they've tried. But they got to go get Mac Jones some help. And I think it's a philosophy issue. Because under Tom Brady, they were, for the most part, not in need of getting the number one guy. But you don't have Tom Brady anymore. So you need to adjust that philosophy.
Haven't for a few years now.
Yeah. Mac Jones on if he's frustrated with the offensive play calling.
No. I think the biggest thing for me is not letting it affect my play and bringing the best out of my guys. So today I thought we all did a good job with trying to play the next play, play the next series. And Matty P did a great job. He's trying to call the game so that we can win. And sometimes it might be this thing that people don't know about, like the quick passes for whatever reason, and that's our game plan. So we knew that's what we had to do to win, and he called a great game and stayed calm. Matty P is a very calm person, very stoic, and we're just going to continue to grow together and do what we can to win games.
I give Matt credit. He's at least being a professional. Because, Hickey, if we put him under a lie detector, there's no way what he just said is true.
Watch him on the field. Watch his body language. I give him a lot of credit. For a second-year guy, under that regime, coming from a Nick Saban coach team where you're not told,
not
or you're
that,
told to basically stay in your lane.
How about just last year?
He's lashing
out.
He
got good coaching last year. Say what you want about Josh McDaniels. He's a bad head coach. Guy's a heck of an offensive coordinator. And to go to this guy who's never coached offense in, you know, since 2003 and Matt Patricia, it's a joke.
Another question for you really fast here. Obviously, they don't get along, Patricia and Mac Jones. If you have to choose one, do you trust?
What?
Do you trust Bill Belichick will choose Mac Jones over Matt
Patricia?
Yes.
In terms of just moving Patricia to some different role, yes, and then Mac Jones will get an offensive coordinator. Yeah. He better. Ty Law reacts to Greg Bedard, who I guess reported that Bill Belichick was coaching for his job last night. This was on the Greg Hill Morning Show on WEEI.
People around the team, including some very good sources of mine who have never steered me wrong, have basically indicated that this Cardinals game on Monday night is among, if not the most important game of Belichick's career post-Tom Brady.
Wow.
If the Patriots don't win this game, then I think there is a serious question about whether Belichick is the future head coach of this team. This is almost a must win on Monday night against the Cardinals.
Oh, my God. Who was that?
That's Greg Bedard.
Who was that made that quote?
That's Greg Bedard.
Greg Bedard. Sir, I don't know you, but your sources are terrible. Your sources, I don't know who he get his source. He must have got his damn source at the Piggly Wiggly some damn where at the swap meet. Goddamn it. I mean, come on, man. Come on, Greg. I like the meet him just to look at his face and like, where the hell you get your sources at? That's what I want to know. Where he was at the Waffle House with the truckers and the CB radios and some shit, because that don't make sense.
That's $100 for the Greg Hill Foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm swear jar.
I'm gonna give an extra $100 to the swear jar. You know, for him, because he needed to get fired for even saying that shit.
Yeah, it's a stupid report, Hickey.
Coaching for his job. I like that. Stupid, but he's coaching for his job in week 14. Who's firing him?
Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying Robert Kraft should be happy with the standard that he's used to. But firing Bill Belichick? Is that just a reporter just saying something for clicks? Because that report just doesn't seem believable.
It sounded like he was on a radio show. Like, is that even... Like, is that worth it? Like, I don't even know. Like, is anyone even listening to you? Yeah.
I think he does, like, a podcast or something.
I mean, I don't really see
that gets views. I saw that circulate last week. The headline, I'm like, oh, please. Like, I just thought it was, like,
an Onion article. But that's another thing. Okay, so it gets views in the instant because people want to say, why is he saying that? But then...
He's covered the team for a long time.
If you don't believe it, then why would you ever go back to anything or listen to anything he says after that?
It's a fair point. You know, people have short memories. The unfortunate news, obviously, Mike Leach did pass away last night at the age of 61. He was the coach at Mississippi State. Before that, Washington State, and then also Texas Tech. I did an interview when I was hosting the weekend overnights here at CBS Sports Radio with Gardner Minshew. And Gardner Minshew was playing for Mike Leach at Washington State. And Gardner Minshew shared a great story on why he chose Washington State over Alabama. Listen up.
I was set on going to Alabama. I had talked to Coach Saban, and it was a deal where, you know, I was going in, and I was really, you know, going, I was going to have a GA job set up after that season. And that was something, you know, that would have been great, you know, for a guy that wants to get into coaching whenever I finish. You know, I thought that'd be, you know, one of the best things for me. But, you know, Coach Leach, he called. You know, he was going to give me an opportunity to compete for a job. And he asked me if I wanted to, you know, lead the country in passing. And that was just something that sounded too good to pass up, you know, a chance to come in and compete for a team that I thought could be really good. So, man, that was, you know, it was kind of a dream come true. And, you know, being a Leach fan, you know, as long as I can remember, you know, it really was just, it was truly awesome.
How tough of a decision was that to pass up on Nick Saban in Alabama, even though you probably knew you weren't going to end up playing there?
Yeah, it was definitely a hard decision. But, you know, at that time also, you know, I thought that there's a chance Jalen Hurts could leave and, you know, I'd at least have, you know, the two reps and a chance to compete. And then in my mind, if I get a chance, then that's all that matters to me. You know, I'll take my chances with anybody. But, yeah, as far as, you know, coaching under Coach Saban, that would have been incredible. You know, and I'm so grateful for their opportunity. But also, you know, Coach Leach, you know, he has one of the, you know, biggest trees in college football, and his influence is all over the game as well. So I feel like, you know, coming here is setting me up, you know, just as well for whenever I do finish playing.
What a story that was. He's about to go to Alabama, and then he gets a call from Mike Leach, you want to lead the nation in passing. And I'll never forget Gardner Minshew slapping on the fake mustache on Coach Leach after a game. And we all knew Gardner was rocking the mustache that year. And finally, Cliff Kingsbury on his favorite memory from Mike Leach.
You would learn a lot about life. It was probably 50-50 life and football in his meetings. And he always thought everybody was open. You know, like you'd watch him film, man, you'd throw to the wrong guy. And he'd circle each guy, say, this guy's open, this guy's open, which they really weren't, right? And he said, this guy probably scores a touchdown. And then he asked the backs, he's like, who would y'all throw to? And they're all like, that guy. And then you threw it here. See, you threw it here. But that was kind of his beauty. It's like he truly thought that his offense was unstoppable, and he made you believe in yourself, you know, more so than you did. And it was, that's why, like, a lot of the same concepts, same signals, same plays, or the same stuff he's running today that we ran, and it still works. Everywhere he's gone, he's won. And so it's there's a method to the madness, and just was an honor to be able to call my friend.
Obviously a great coach, but the things that I'm going to remember the most are just the legendary
interviews and press conferences where he had a unique ability to just talk about anything, whether it was coffee, weddings, weather, Bigfoot, candy. Mike Leach was truly one-on-one and someone that will remember for a long time. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How about those Detroit Lions? Could be the team I'm rooting for the most down the stretch here in the NFL season. They started the year 1-6, and now they have won 5 out of their last 6 games. They're 6-7, and they're going to be at MetLife Stadium this weekend going up against the New York Jets. We head out to the guest line right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And welcome in a man that played with the Lions from 2013 to 2018. He did make the Pro Bowl in 2014, led the NFL in interceptions that year. And that is Glover Quinn, who is now a part of the Believe Podcast Network with the Believe in Lions show. And Glover Quinn is kind enough to join us right now. Glover, appreciate the time. How you been?
Good, man. How you been?
Well, I've been fantastic. How do you kind of describe what you've been seeing from the Lions as of late? Because when they were 1-6, everyone thought this season was over, and now not so fast.
Man, they've really been playing well at the last few weeks. You know, they've been playing better defensively, not giving up big plays. They've been forcing turnovers defensively. And then offensively, they've gotten back healthy. They went through a stretch with DeAndre Swift being injured, Amon-Ra St. Brown being injured. And then they traded T.J. Hockenson. So they went through a little stretch where offensively they wasn't at full power. And now those guys are back healthy. Jared Goff is playing great. He's not turning the ball over. And so when you can do that, spread the ball around. His receivers are back out there. D.J. Chark is back. Josh Reynolds is back. Guys are playing at a high level. And when you can get turnovers defensively and not turn the ball over offensively, you're going to give yourself a better chance to win.
It really shows me that Dan Campbell, with what they've been able to do the last 6 weeks, is getting this team moving in the right direction, because there's one thing to have all these passionate speeches and everyone be rooting for you, but when you start the year 1-6, it's like, oh, we've seen this story so many times before with the Lions. But what has Coach Dan Campbell really showed you recently that makes you believe he could be the guy?
Well, I mean, you know, he just believes in hard work. He believes in toughness. He believes in grit and grinding it out. And that's kind of how this season has gone. You know, when times get tough, you know, you just got to be tougher. You can't give in to the tough times. And he's been a leader of that, kept the guys, you know, focused, pointed in the right direction. And it's good to see them to start get some of those wins. They lost a lot of close games last year. And then they had a great offseason, a great, you know, expectations coming into this season. And it didn't start out great. Like you said, they started out 1-6. And so for him to keep those guys focused, keep them working, keep them locked in, and to be able to turn it around and have a shot at making the playoffs, it's a testament to him and his character and what he's all about.
And I love his aggressive nature, because I was thinking it was a questionable decision when I saw the fake punt was being run, but it did work at the 28-yard line. And then Panay Sewell to ice the victory on third down and eight, calling a tackle eligible. That's some creativity from the coach.
Yeah, it's definitely some creativity from the coach. And, I mean, you like to see that. As a player, you like certain things like that. You like some trust in that you can convert that fake putt. Panay Sewell, you like him, you know, taking what you show in practice. Because for them to call a play like that, obviously when they're throwing the ball around at practice or doing something, Panay he's shown them that he can catch the ball. That's really what it is. And not only did he show them that he can catch the ball, he's shown them that he can move and catch the ball. Otherwise, you don't call a play like that for an offensive lineman, right? Anybody can just stand still and maybe catch the ball. But when you come running across the field, running out to the flat, and now you have to try to catch the ball, that's difficult, especially for an old lineman. So he's done things like that in practice, has to. You know, it's been talked about around the building for them to have the confidence to even draw up that play and then to call it in the game. And when you execute it, maybe you get more things called.
Glover Quinn here with us. What have you been seeing out of Jeff Okuda this season?
Out of who?
Jeff Okuda.
You know, great. You know, I think, you know, he's gotten better as the season has went along. I think early in the season, he was a little timid. And that's to be expected. He's had injuries these last couple years. And so coming back off an Achilles, you know, it's pretty normal to be a little timid and you just don't want to get hurt again, right? You've been hurt for so many seasons. I think your first two seasons you got hurt. So he started out a little timid, but then I think as the season went and he started to gain more confidence in his foot, his ankle, and I think that started to show up in his game. And then, you know, he was just playing his style of game. I think he had his best game early in the season when they played the Cowboys. He didn't have a lot of plays in the passing game, so to say, but he had like 15 tackles. And people would think that he had 15 tackles because they was catching the ball on him, but they really wasn't. They was running the ball. They was doing a certain formation, and they was running at him, and he was making the tackles every single play. And I think his confidence just started to grow and grow and grow. And then a couple games later, he ended up catching the pick six, getting his first interception of the season. And like I said, I think now he just feels confident. He's playing with technique, using his physical ability. And, you know, like I said, he's not making, you know, interceptions or, you know, tons of plays on the ball. But this guy's not catching the ball, and he's been great in the run game. So, you know, he's looking a lot better.
When you take someone second overall in the draft, and they've been on the wrong end of this, the Lions, you expect him to be a cornerstone player moving forward. Aiden Hutchinson, we know what he did at Michigan last year, but what he's doing in his rookie year for the Lions is really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and Aiden Hutchinson is a guy who wants to be there. You know, he's from the Detroit area, went to the University of Michigan, so he wants to be there. He's excited about being there, and it's just been great to watch him play, and you know, he's gotten better and better week in and week out. You know, he's had some ups and downs, obviously, and all these things are to be expected. These are young players trying to learn a new system, trying to learn how to play in the NFL, trying to learn how to take care of their bodies, trying to learn how to adjust to having more free time, so to say, than, you know, when you're at school, you don't have classes that you got to take tests for. So it's a lot of different things that go on with these young players they got to adjust to. So it's for them to have their ups and downs.
Glover Quinn here with us. You're just breaking up a little bit. Before we let you run, the quarterback, Jared Goff, I think everyone assumed that this may have been his final year with the Detroit Lions when looking at Jared Goff. He's playing pretty well as of late. What do you kind of think Jared Goff's future is with the Lions?
You know, I think Jared Goff has looked really well. I mean, these last few games, he's looked as exceptionally well. You know, like I said, they haven't been turning the ball over, and a lot of that falls on the quarterback. Not throwing interceptions, that means you're making good decisions. And, you know, I think on third down, they've been excellent. You know, that a lot of that comes with the health of Amon-Ra St. Brown being back out there. But Jared Goff has looked good. He's looked like he can lead this team. But it doesn't look like they've asked him to do very much. He has a lot of playmakers around him at the receiver core and with the running backs. And so he's really just been managing the game, making key throws when he needs to make them, and not turning the ball over. And he's looked good.
Is this team going to be making the playoffs? They're 6-7. Can you see them winning out or maybe winning 3 out of 4 and going to the postseason this year?
Yeah, I can see that. I think you know, this week coming up right here will be one of the biggest tests. Obviously, going to New York, it's probably going to be cold. Playing the Jets. The Jets are a good team. They're fighting for their playoff life as well. So that's going to be a tough game. And, you know, after that, you know, you still got tough games. It's the NFL. But, you know, you look at it, you think you can beat the Panthers, you think you can beat the Bears, and you think you can beat the Packers in Week 18. So this right here is a key week for those guys to go out there and get a win and get a win on the road. I think that'd mean a lot for those guys getting to the playoffs, because I think it's going to be difficult for the Giants down the stretch and the Commanders down the stretch. They got some tough games to play. And so even the Seahawks got a couple tough games in there to play as well. So the Giants and the Commanders, you know, with the Lions having the tiebreaker over those guys, you know, I think the Lions sneak in.
Well, we're going to see how it plays out with those two spots probably available, that 6-7 seed. Glover Quinn from the Believe in Lions podcast. Appreciate the time.
Man, appreciate you guys.
You got it. There's Glover Quinn joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. We got to do a little fraud alert when we come on back. 14 weeks in the books in the NFL. And we'll try to find out who are your legit teams on some of those maybe 50-50 teams in the NFL.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Can I get a little NFL music, please, from One Hot Take, Hickey? Okay, so Hickey's going to give me a team, and we're going to see if they're on fraud alert. Give me the team. Let's go.
All right, team number one, the Minnesota Vikings.
And I'm assuming for this one, it's a standard to make the Super Bowl for Minnesota, right?
Yes, yes. Frauds in terms of their record should say they are Super Bowl contenders, but are they actually as good as their record says they are?
Fraud alert, fraud alert. They ain't making a Super Bowl. And I was a believer in Minnesota. I like what I saw from Minnesota. And before the year, I thought they could be a playoff team. Then they improved a lot. Packers fall back. Okay, they're easily going to win this NFC North, even though they couldn't clinch it last week. But you look at their three losses, two of them against the Eagles and the Cowboys. Those are two teams that are better than them. And then Vegas said the Lions were better. And everyone's like, what? That line doesn't make sense. And the Lions proved it. I just don't see how this team wins three games in a row in the playoffs. They could win a playoff game. They could win two playoff games. I don't see how they're going to win three in a row, especially with that defense leaking, and get to a Super Bowl this year. So they're on the fraud alert.
How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I'm assuming since it's Brady, you're asking me for the Super Bowl in this one as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no shot. Do you still think they're a Super Bowl contender, Hickey? Because I tried to tell you last week when you threw that nonsense at me that you were going to be mistaken. After what you just saw this past week against Brock Purdy and the 49ers, you still shoving that take of the Bucs going to the Super Bowl down everyone's throat.
I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl. I still think they're a threat.
Yes, you were.
I still think they're a threat.
You still think they're a threat?
You're also the best team in the NFC. Or the biggest threat to
the
Super Bowl.
They're not the best team in the NFC.
In the NFC. They're my Super Bowl champ or Super Bowl representative from the NFC, excuse me. So you got smoked. Predictable, but do I think that the loss against one of the best teams in the NFL is going to be a reason why they're not? No.
Well, don't you think they would have to beat the 49ers?
I do. I don't think they'd beat them, but I think they could beat the Cowboys. I think they can even win a second round game. So if you're talking about a team that could go to the NFC Conference Championship.
That wasn't the question, though. You asked me about the Super Bowl for them. Because that's the standard for Tom Brady, and I'm the biggest Brady fan there is, but there is no shot that that team with that bad of an offensive line and Todd Bowles being the head coach is going to a Super Bowl. And after week one, I was the jackass that was saying, guaranteed they're going to Super Bowl this year because of how open the NFC is. There is no shot now with that offensive line that they're going to a Super Bowl. Throw them on the fraud alert.
If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm praying to not see Tom Brady in round number one. That is for sure.
But that's one team. That's one team. That's one win. That's not what you play if you're Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
I think you get past that one. I mean, I would feel nervous about Tom Brady coming to my building, wouldn't you?
Not with that offensive line.
All right. How about the Dolphins?
To a Super Bowl or AFC title game? Give me the standard on it.
Let's go AFC title game.
Fraud alert. The Dolphins are a team that you don't want to face them because of Tyreek Hill and how they'll never be out of a game. And even in a game where that offense doesn't play well, he just finds a way to create plays, whether it was the fortuitous bounce that went for 40-something yards on the fumble recovery or that deep play where the defender fell down. But that defense has regressed to a... The last 2 weeks has not looked good. Could they get into the wild card round? Yeah, they'll be there. And can they win a playoff game? Sure. I don't see them winning two playoff games this year and get into an AFC title game. So I'll put them on fraud alert.
How about the aforementioned Dallas Cowboys?
To where?
Super Bowl.
Wow. I'm calling everyone frauds. Yeah, they're not going to a Super Bowl. I love their defense. They just struggle with the Houston Texans, which is embarrassing. I think Philadelphia is better, and I'll take the 49ers the way that they're built in the trenches. And also Dallas, they get one tackle back, then they lose the other one for the season. So I'm wondering how they're going to manage that. I don't think they're going to a Super Bowl this year. Fraud alert.
How about playoffs for the Seattle Seahawks?
You know what? This was a team that I took a lot of joy in seeing their early season success because their early season success really put a fork in all of the takes of Hot Take Hickey for this year because he was crushing the Seahawks all offseason long, killing Pete Carroll, saying he's not a good coach when I said he's still a top 10 coach in this league. And you were just praising and praising and praising and praising the Denver Broncos. But look at their schedule. It feels like their season's on the line Thursday night, two nights from now, against the 49ers. They lose that game, they go to 7-7, and then you got to play Kansas City after that. You got to find a way to split because you just need two more victories, and you could get them against the Jets, who are a tougher team now. You could definitely get against the Rams, but that tie may squeeze them out. I know they beat the Giants, but the Giants and Commanders tying, that could maybe, with two spots to go, one of those teams will get it, I think, the Giants or the Commanders. And then one maybe on the outside looking in, that tie could come back to haunt maybe the Seahawks. I'm going to say I hate to say it because I really want to see them make the playoffs, but I'm going to say Seattle now misses the playoffs. Fraud alert.
Speaking of, how about the Giants? Frauds or no? For the playoffs?
If they win this weekend, they'll get in. I don't think they're going to win this weekend against the Commanders. Fraud alert.
Lions, playoffs. Frauds or no?
This is going to sound crazy. I think they're winning 3 out of 4. They may lose this weekend, but I think they're winning 3 out of 4. I'm believing that the Lions are going to find a way to get to 9 wins and make the playoffs. I like them.
Commanders, frauds or no?
Out of all the teams chasing for a wild card spot in the NFC, you know that the Eagles are going to make the playoffs. You know the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs. You know the Vikings will win that division. You know someone's going to win the South and that's it. And I'm thinking the 49ers are going to the West. So out of those 4 teams, Giants, Commanders, Lions, and then the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
I actually believe in the Commanders the most. I think the Commanders are going to make the postseason. It's all because that team is just responding so much better with life without Carson Wentz. I know he got activated this week. It's Taylor Ham Heineke's team. Keep him as far away from the field as possible, Ron Rivera.
Let's flip over to the AFC Jets. Frauds for the playoffs or no?
They got a shot. I wouldn't call them frauds. My only concern is their quarterback. Because Mike White's now dealing with an injury. Mike White's better than Zach Wilson. You see, though, up against the Patriots, like the Jets are better than the Patriots on paper. But not having a franchise quarterback, as you saw, and I know it was with Zach Wilson twice, did hurt them. Mike White is an upgrade. They kept it close against the Vikings. They kept it close against the Bills. This weekend will be telling. But at 7-6, yeah, those 2 losses to the Patriots come back to bite them if they finish with the same record. But the Jets are in contention for the playoffs.
How about the Patriots? Are they frauds for the playoffs?
I don't think the Patriots are all that good. But if it's just to make the playoffs, as long as they beat the Raiders coming up this weekend, this team, they may have to back their way in. But you know what, though? The more and more I look at it, and I know they have a good defense, Hickey. You think the Ravens are in and the Bengals are in, right?
Yes.
Bills and the Dolphins.
Yep.
South has to send someone that's going to be Tennessee. And then you have Kansas City. So that's one spot. You know what? I'll say it. Fraud alert for my team.
Does that mean the Chargers are off the fraud alert?
Yeah, between the Jets, the Patriots, and the Chargers, I'll have the most confidence in the Chargers. So if I had to pick one between the Chargers, the Patriots, and the Jets, I would then put the Patriots and Jets on fraud alert and go with the Chargers.
Ravens to make the AFC title game. Are they frauds
no,
or not?
No. We don't even know when Lamar Jackson's coming back. They don't have a number one wide receiver. And I know that defense played well last week, but that defense can't protect the lead.
Titans are going to win the AFC South finally. Are they frauds to just win one playoff game? Get to round two.
They could win a playoff game because of Vrabel and the defense and Derrick Henry. They could win a playoff game. Do I feel great about it? No, but they could win a playoff game. It's not in the realm of possibilities. That's it?
That is it. Those are all the fraud possibilities.
Jeez. Call a lot of teams frauds.
A lot of frauds out there.
Now, Ryan Tannehill's a fraud. That guy is he ain't winning a Super Bowl in this league. I'll tell you that. Maybe Brady winds up there. Maybe TB12 winds up there this offseason. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we do come on back, there's 2 teams that have a lot in common. And we're going to take a look at those 2 teams, especially at their quarterback position and their head coaching position. Because both of those teams had playoff expectations before the start of the season. And now, through 14 weeks, we know those 2 teams, they're not going to be making the playoffs. And they're both in the West. One in the AFC, and then one in the NFC. And no, we're not talking about the Denver Broncos. So that eliminates 1 team, even though, geez, Hackett stinks. And Russell Wilson has been brutal. I know he finally played a good game, but people trying to give me now optimism about Russell Wilson, yeah, you could save it. He's been horrible this year. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.